In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Jesus Christ has said, a little while longer the light is with you. Now, we have this gospel. He is speaking about, he is going to be lifted up. This occurs in earlier verses in the same chapter 12. We prayed chapter 12, verses 35 to 50, but in earlier verses, the Jews are quite clear that they understand what he means by being lifted up. But the Lord, in fact, was lifted up twice. He was lifted up first on the cross. And the commentators postulate that on the one hand, he had the ancient people. He had the Jews, and on the other hand, he had the Gentiles, the new people. It was the full embrace of the world on the cross. But yet there's another ascension, is there not? And we will come upon that in a few days. And it is said that by his being lifted up, he will draw all to him, and this is the fact. But then when we come here, the fathers have not given us that to meditate on. They are just saying to us a cautionary tale, saying, walk while the light is with you. What does that mean? Of course we walk when the light is with us, and we stumble about in the darkness. Everybody knows that. Well, you see, what they're going to say is that the inspiration of God comes like a lightning flash. It's dark. I've had this experience, I don't know about you, where it is totally and utterly black. There is no moon. There is no ambient light from any other source. And all of a sudden, the entire panorama is lit brightly with this strike of lightning which comes down. This is what all of us have a chance for when we encounter Jesus Christ, to see this light. And this light you can keep inside you. It's not a light to be extinguished, but one that is to be preserved. You light a lamp, it preserves the light. The light was darkened, there was nothing, but the light was lit. And it's by, whether or not we might want to say, the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God who entered into us. Sometimes it's a word, sometimes it's an action. Sometimes it's just a feeling and an emotion that we get, but it provides such clarity, a lightning flash. It says, well, walk while you have this. Well, when I have the light, you know the parable of the foolish and the wise virgins. Some had trimmed their lamps, the wick was trimmed, it was ready to be lit, there was oil, they were ready to go. When the bridegroom said, hey, let's get on the road, they're prepared and ready. I always wondered why they had to have more than one light. And couldn't the foolish bridesmaids, couldn't they have taken the little bit of oil that they had, poured it all into one single lamp, and then used that lamp to go forward with, the rest of them holding hands, making a chain? Have you seen little kids in kindergarten or in preschool do this? The teacher will come out, and all the little kids will be holding their hands, one after another, in a line. Why couldn't they have done that? Because the light that we're talking about is the light that is inside you. It's not an artificial light. This was just a symbol. But that light that strikes in you, it's the same thing with love. And I've said this to you before. If you have ever loved anybody, if you've ever loved anybody, ever loved them, then ask yourself why. Over time, that love has diminished. Ask why it's not as bright and glorious as it once was. That's because you let the light go out. You let the light go out. Individually, it wasn't taken from you. So the Lord says, while you have the light, walk in the light. Now, when the people heard these things, they became so angry. In Jesus perceived this, that he walked away from them, so not to give them cause to focus further on this. Because they knew that they were in darkness. They knew always, always in some part of themselves that he was talking about them. And it's written here that he had done so many signs, so many miracles, and they didn't believe. Think about that. They didn't believe. So why? Well, it said here, in a very strange and kind of convoluted understanding of the English, that it was because Isaiah the prophet spoke. Well, it wasn't because Isaiah the prophet spoke. Isaiah saw what was going to take place, and he spoke. He saw what was going to take place, and he spoke. And so it is written that now it is fulfilled, that people may respond to the prophets knowing that the truth of what they said is something that we can rely upon. And it's because Isaiah said he has blinded their hearts, their eyes, and hardened their heart, as it's written about Pharaoh. The Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. How did he harden anybody's heart? How is this possible? Because he takes away from them himself. He removes himself away. That's his action. Now, why does he do that? You know, if there's a difference between somebody who cannot believe and somebody who will not believe. God has complete compassion for those who cannot believe, and he will provide them with the sign so that they do believe, and no one is left barren without that sign. Everyone who believes has seen. Everyone who believes has heard. But there are some people that never see and they never hear. Not because there is no voice and not because there is no sign, but because they will not. They refuse. And this is what the Jews did, and many of us as well. Now, there were some that were surreptitiously his followers, hidden. You know, there was this guy at St. George, and I trusted him. And there was a group of people, and there was one in their number who had just turned 21 years of age, and they got him drunk. They got him so drunk that he was heaving. You know, this is one of these things like when you have a bunch of guys together and there's, you know, like, take another drink, take another drink, it's okay, take it. And in quick succession, he continued to drink till he had had about a pint of alcohol. This is somebody that never drank. What do you think is going to happen when somebody drinks a pint of alcohol? Their body rejects it as poison. And had they passed out, it's a very dear threat that someone could vomit and aspirate their own vomit and suffocate and die. This young man stayed upright. He just bent over and heaved. But there was somebody there that could have stopped it. There was somebody there that knew it was wrong, absolutely knew it was wrong, and remained silent. You know, your silence is a tremendous asset to the devil. I remember I used to say from time to time, at St. George, when I was talking to the Sunday school servants, I'd say, when you have an opportunity, because everybody knows Christmas is the 25th of December, right? Everybody except us. So in January, say to people, Merry Christmas. And they're going to look at you funny, and you have a chance to explain. Or our Easter is different. Easter is bad, but we can say, Christos Anesti. You understand? We can say these things. Because it's true, be a witness. Be a witness of things that are harmless, that are innocuous. And as you grow bolder and have more confidence in your own faith and your position with Christ, then take on the bigger things and stand up and say, no, absolutely not. I told lots of people. One you remember, Rasha Gerges. Now, Rasha Shields. I said, every time you hear the word fetus, you say baby. When you're in university, they say fetus, you say baby. Just say baby. Just don't ask for permission to say it. Don't raise your hand. Just if you hear somebody say fetus, you say baby. This is the confession. This is the confession. You want to confess the good confession? Then start piecemeal. Start one little thing at a time that you can. When you are silent, you don't do anything for anybody or yourself. And you certainly do not help God. So, it's written that there were some that believed in him, even some who were the leaders of the Pharisees, but they loved the praise of men and were afraid to be kicked out of the synagogue. Now, the Lord is trying to especially, you know, allow people to understand the relationship between himself and his Father. And he says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Philip takes this up in the gospel. Philip says, Lord, if you show us the Father, it suffices for us. And he says, have I been so long with you, Philip, and you still do not know? He rebuked Philip. It does not matter whether you drink from the river. You may drink water from the river, and it is the same as you drinking from the spring which gave life to the river. The source, the spring, or the river itself, miles and miles away from the inception. It's water. It's water. Drink. You will never thirst again if you drink of this. Because this is the kind of water that is not physical. It's the kind that takes away all of your spiritual malaise. You will not be in a condition of not knowing. You will not be in a condition of fear. You will know for a fact. I said this to you before. There was a movie that starred Robert Redford called The Candidate. And he was going to run. And he said, well, we have no chance of winning. And he said, that's exactly right. You lose. You lose. He ran in such a way that he could bring up all of the things that nobody who was running to win would ever bring up. Have you ever heard about these assault weapons? You heard about assault weapons? Every time there's some killing somewhere, they talk about assault weapons, don't they? Every single time. If you look up on the FBI statistics, you will find that more than 95% of all people murdered by guns are murdered by handguns. So why don't they put a handgun up? Why is it always an AR? Why? Because they're cowards. They're cowards. And in like manner, you know, when you have an opportunity, when you have an opportunity to stand up and say, I believe, you have to do more than just say, I believe. There has to be some action. Now, you know, Isaiah was given a very great gift, and we read this in the 6th chapter of his prophecy. He saw the Lord sitting on a high throne, and it's written that his train, like this thing that I'm wearing behind my head, you know what a train is, you see in the long dresses of women who are getting married. This thing that goes behind them forever is it called a train. It filled the temple. And there was incense being burnt, and there were the seraphim. And because he saw the glory of God, because he saw this, he was able with great power to face down everybody. Well, if a flash of lightning, when you read the Bible, you should first stand and pray and ask the Lord to open your mind and your heart and your spirit. And after you have done that, if there is a flash that will allow you to believe, then it is the same as the vision of the prophet, because he could say, I was hungry. Do you remember Dickens' story, Christmas Carol? And you had Ebenezer Scrooge, and a ghost appeared to him. And he said, oh, you're nothing but a little piece of undigested food. I'm having dyspepsia. I'm having a problem. And so I'm dreaming. The prophet could say the same thing. The vision wasn't there forever. He had to carry it around. Once the vision was given to him, he kept this like a person who loves money, clutches to gold or precious stones. So think about what is going to judge us finally in the last. Whether or not we believe the witnesses of those who came before us, whether we are going to be certain of those things which were given to us as gifts through the revelation of God. No man can pry a single word from the mind of God. All things must be given by Him to us through the agency of the apostles or the prophets, or even by a lowly priest. But once it's given to you, you must then act on it. And this action gives witness to the world that you are in the light, and the light never leaves you, and that you preserve the light, and that this light will be not just for you, but for others who will come to you, just as when you use a single candle to light many different lamps. So it is. You are all called to be witnesses. Don't shirk your responsibility. Glory be to our Father, both now and ever, and to the age of age. Amen.